here we go.
You're tampering with powers reserved to God.
Well, I was joking! Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
What you are doing is mad. It is diabolic.
It's alive!
Hey, everybody. That's right. We're back again. I'm Jesse Shadoose, and always next to me, the swap motherfucker right here.
Kamal Altash.
And we're going to kick a little bit of that podcast action for you. I don't know why I had the headphones on just then, because they're not plugged in. So...
They're plugged in. It's just the way they're routed. They ain't working.
Oh.
They ain't working. Not for this purpose. Sorry.
It's the holiday season. So whoop-dee-doo. And hickory dock. How about you suck on my cock? It's just exactly at 12 o'clock. I'll be dumping one in your mouth. Woo! We're back, baby.
Hard pass.
That wasn't an invitation for you.
I mean, sometimes I can't figure out which one you're speaking to, the people, or, you know, who's here.
And Santa Claus has got a toy.
Santa Claus!
For every good girl, a good little boy. He's a dirty porno wonder of joy. It's the holidays, kids. Thanksgiving's coming up. That's going to be a fun holiday, stuffing our faces with food for no reason.
The reason for the season is pleasing.
That's what I was just singing about.
I know. I think I put my two cents in.
Oh, listen. What else you think about putting in?
I don't know. Use your imagination.
Oh, this is getting real gay real quick.
Imagination.
I'm telling you, we might as well just start calling this, yeah, I said it, pride. We say the gayest shit on here consistently. I'm dying. Oh, no, but seriously, man. Oh, my God.
I'm not even going to deny that. To deny that would be pointless.
Completely pointless. No, but... You know, the holidays are coming and traffic is getting crazy, dude. Jesus. I was out there doing the Ubers and the Lyfts today and, dude, almost got in three accidents. Some lady right down the street, right? You know where that church is on Baseline right there?
Yeah.
The fucking Spring Life Baptist. Whatever the fuck. It takes your money for no reason. And so this lady was coming out of the parking lot. She cut across the whole median and right into the left-hand lane right in front of me. Just didn't look to see if she could
total
stop.
Total disregard for...
Bro, didn't take a break in the median at all to, like, look both ways. She just saw me and was like, fuck it, I can make it. With her kid in the car.
He'll see me, he'll react.
Coming out of a...
I'm the one that's important. Yeah,
coming out of a church parking lot. So what do? The Christly thing. I flip her the bird. Do unto others. And that's what it said, right?
I don't know.
So I do. Unto others. So I pull up at the stoplight in the right turn lane. She's in the left turn lane next to me. And I just look in the window and go, what the fuck, lady? And she's like, sorry. She's waving her hands and covering her daughter's eyes. And I was just like, what in the fuck is going on? You know, like.
Still flying that finger flag.
I wonder if she drives
the
that.
The whole time.
Wonder if, yeah.
Just pulled up. Yeah. With the middle finger.
Yeah.
Still out.
That's why she's blocking
what
her daughter.
Fuck?
I was like, what the fuck, lady?
I think you have some aggression issues you might need to work through.
Meanwhile, I got my fare in the back.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you said
yeah. I was taking him to work at McDonald's. Nobody's writing a letter. You know what I'm saying? That kid doesn't care. He has headphones on. He goes, he saw her pull out in front of me. He's like, oh, and I was like, I got it. And I'm flicking her off, and he's just back there. And I'm
go
just,
back to your angry birds.
Yeah, so I fucking pull up next to her, and I'm like, and I did the whole, you know, what the fuck, lady? And I look back, and I'm like, can you believe this chick? And he's like, I know, I saw the whole thing. And I was like, yeah, you're here. like, you know?
So you're also still alive. Do I get 5 stars?
Yeah, I mean, look, I got him to work okay so he could sling nuggets to fucking, you know, diabetes patients. It's fine. Look, the point is, people are driving fucking nuts out there, and it seems to be the closer it gets to the holidays, the wackier these fucking people are.
Well, general stress levels rise around this time of year.
Yeah.
People's anxiety is through the freaking roof. Like, it gets crazier everywhere. At work.
It's, yeah.
On the commute to work, from work. It's everywhere, man. And, like, I'm sorry you had to see it.
Dude, I fucking had to live it. I had a school bus cut me off the other day. A fucking school bus.
I've been cut off by box trucks. I've been cut off by work vans. I've been cut off by freaking full-on 4x4s with trailers loaded with gardening, you know, lawn maintenance.
Yeah, yeah.
Cut off by them.
Dude.
They're not looking.
Somebody's
not using their turn signals.
Cutting you off with the full trailer. The weed whack was hanging off the sides.
It's just no, like, seriously. That's exactly what happened. Were you there? That's exactly what fucking happened.
Bro, there's so many lawn.
I'm just driving along at a steady clip, man, and this guy's just like, well, I'm going to need to turn right in like 2 seconds, so sorry.
Yeah, if...
God damn.
If you don't live in the magical fucking screwed up wonderland that is Florida, you have no idea how many lawn services there are. We have to cut our grass twice a week in the summertime, okay?
Yeah.
There's
big business.
Seriously, there's nobody more than me that's thankful for Jesus and his 12 disciples of lawn care. I swear to God, bro, I'm telling you. And it's you have no clue. So these trucks, these things are everywhere, man. They're all over the goddamn place. And it's a pain in the ass. You're right. They cut you off sometimes. Dude, when the school bus cut me off, I was like, what the fuck? Is Freddy Krueger driving this thing? Like, what the...
Still loaded with malcontent, that one.
Still loaded.
He's so mad.
Listen, you know what? When I watched those movies as a kid, I fucking cheered him on.
Oh, absolutely.
He always killed people in the most cool fucking ways. Remember that chick turned into a fucking cockroach and then he stepped on the Roach Motel?
No.
No?
No, I never really watched those movies.
Bro, it was amazing. Freaking the special effects. Like, she holds her hands up like this and her wrists just crack open.
Whoa.
And the fucking, like, legs of the roach start coming out of her arms, and it's tearing her flesh, and it's ripping across
so
her chest.
She's basically a roach on the inside,
yes.
And she's shedding her flesh.
Yes, she just shreds her flesh. Ooh. And turns into the roach, and then he goes, and he steps on it.
Fucking genius.
Bro, did you see the one with the power glove from Nintendo?
No.
Holy shit, yeah, he's got this video game kid in one of the movies. I think it was the Dreamwaker or Walker or whatever the fuck it was. Whatever movie it was.
No, it was Twilight Princess.
Freddy Krueger's on Elm Street's number 5, whatever. Anyways, so he's in the dream state and he's got these kids and they're basically playing like a video game, but in, like, you know, the dream world or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's got the power glove on, like, controlling them and shit like that. And he goes, and the guy's name is Jesse. And I used to laugh my ass off as a kid. And he's like, the one chick was like, Jesse's like, Jesse's dead. He's got the glove on. He's like, no, you're playing with power.
Yeah, oh, dude. He did that.
Yes. And the fucking Nintendo glove. The Nintendo glove had the claws come through it. And he had the fucking power glove with the claws.
Somebody
getting like,
sued for that.
Nah, man. Back
they never got sued?
No, it's a movie, man. I'm sure they greased up the Japs. So anyways. What? Oh, because I said Japs.
Lined their pockets. They lined their pockets is what they... That's what he meant to say. Look, he greased the Japs.
When you... Listen, when you nuke a country, you can say whatever you want about them.
Boy. Whew, now you're establishing dominance.
The Jap Whisperer.
Oh, no. Not
Caesar,
that one.
Caesar Malone.
I'm touching that one.
The Jap Whisperer.
Stop. Ooh, no. I'll probably even cut out my laughing at both.
First you have to sterilize Dominus. So you're gonna put a nuke right here? And then because they didn't learn a lesson the first time, you're gonna put a nuke right here. Bro, do you know how fucked up it is that the whole Japanese Air Force and the Navy was basically built out of American steel that we used to sell to them in the form of old cars?
I was not aware.
Yes. So when they were bombing us with those planes and flying them into our ships, they were, in a sense, recycling. They're like, you guys want it back?
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Dude, did you know a lot of them were on crystal meth? The Japanese used meth to psych up their kamikaze pilots?
Certainly not aware of that either.
Bro, you learn a lot of stuff watching World War II in color. Thank you, Netflix. Look, I'm not saying you go out there and use every Asian stereotype, and I'm certainly not saying anyone in the real world should call anybody Japs, okay? You should not do that. All I'm saying is...
And while we are apologizing...
I'm not apologizing. All let me be clear. All I'm saying is...
We get it. You're not sorry. However, last week, there were two names that we omitted.
Ah.
One, simply because we forgot.
His name. Yeah.
His name. That was Alan Rickman. He played Severus Snape and the guy from Die Hard.
Die Hard.
The guy in Die Hard. And the other name... That we both butchered.
Hans Gruber.
No, no. Oh yeah, because
we were gonna forget the bad guy's name because you were like the bad guy, and I'm like, shit. There's gonna be another apology next week. I was like, nope, fuck that, Hans Gruber.
And the other one is Pedro Pascal.
Ah.
That is the guy that plays the Mandalorian. Okay. I corrected Jesse and said Pablo Pascal. No. No. That was also incorrect, so sorry.
I stick by my statement, George Lopez would be awesome as the Mandalorian.
He'd be something. He'd bring something different to the table, that's for sure. But, I mean, I think my Star Wars is just fine without him.
I know, but as messed up as Star Wars is, sometimes I just want to give it the kill shot. You know what I mean? Just
like... The saga, yes. Absolutely.
You know,
I'm not even going out to the theaters to see episode, what is it, 9? Is that what we're on?
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, the Skywalker saga ended with Jedi.
Yeah.
And I don't plan on having these movies as part of my set, you know, and maybe when I get old and I don't really give a shit anymore and I'm like, I'm tired of being fucking hardline and whatever, maybe I'll be like, well, maybe they weren't so bad, you know. No. And they wouldn't be that bad. No, honestly, they wouldn't be that bad if it wasn't 7, 8, and 9. If the original cast wasn't in these movies, and it was just a separate Star Wars story about this girl, Rey, and all this other stuff.
There are expectations for the characters that were already established in 1 through 6.
I was excited when Disney bought Lucasfilm, but here's my issue, and we're getting to Star Wars 2 weeks in a row, kids, but it's coming out soon. It's important to talk about. What I wonder is, like, if I'm Disney and I buy it, right? Yes, I want to have a fresh take on it, and I want to do it our way with the practical effects and all that stuff, and maybe bring J.J. Abrams on as a producer or even the director, but have George Lucas be a producer, okay? And then put out some quality fucking movies. Well, even
Daddy's
if he's
already got his check.
Yeah, no, but he's
paid him out right.
He wanted he gave them the treatments for 7, 8, and 9 that he wrote. He gave that to Disney, and they threw it out. They were like, "Fuck that. We're not doing that. We're gonna do this shit, and we're gonna be super woke and progressive, and everybody's gonna love it." And nobody does, because they'd rather have a story. So my thing is, yes, George Lucas has pissed off the fans with the prequels, but he never pissed off the fans with the prequels like they have with these movies. Like, these movies have a whole new ire compared to like the prequels do. You know,
I actually recently watched episodes 1 and 2. Actually, I'm in the process of watching 2.
Yeah.
But episode 1, I still like it a lot.
It's good. A lot.
Performances aren't A+.
No.
And some of the dialogue isn't the best.
And some of that computer animation's a little dated.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it took them, what, 2 more movies before they finally got the look for Yoda down?
Oh, yeah. They didn't have him down to like, Revenge...
Attack of the Clones, he wasn't bad.
He was pretty close.
When he was flipping around his lightsaber shit for the first time on screen. That looked pretty cool.
But Revenge of the Sith?
Oh, they had
spot
it
on.
Yeah, they had it.
Like,
spot
when
on.
He had that fight scene with, you know, Sidious, man, that was, like, awesome.
I still really would have liked to have seen more practical Yodas, though.
You know,
in Empire and Jedi, when they had that puppet, there was like an imperfection to it that made it more tangible, more real. You could see like the hair shaking, you know, like he was old and he was, you know, he had a little bit of the quakes, if you will.
Listen, while we're talking about that, like we were talking about that watching The Mandalorian. And talking about how, you know, with that character that's played by Nick Nolte,
the Ugnaught,
yeah,
I forget his name.
But yeah, when you see that guy, there's something about a prosthetic and a puppet that looks more real than the computer animated facial expressions. And I'm sure we'll get to a place where that won't be the case. Maybe not. Maybe that's that weird uncanny valley thing where, like, you know, it's. The less real is actually more realistic. Like, it has a soul to it. It's hard to explain. It has a movement, a jerk, a feel that you can't quite capture. Yeah, wait. That's kind of it. You can feel the pieces moving. You can feel what that flesh looks like and stuff, whereas in a computer animation, sometimes that's a little hard to do. I mean, they're getting better at it. But, you know, those movies were not that bad. They were pretty good. And compared to what we have right now that's passing for Star Wars, they were fucking Oscar winners. It's like,
oh, dude, I can't say enough positive things about The Mandalorian. I loved every aspect of it.
Well, I was talking about the prequels.
Oh, the prequels?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're still on that. I'm sorry. I was looking up the name of the Ugnaught that Nick Nolte plays, and it's Kuill, K-U-I-L-L. I don't know how to pronounce it. That was probably an awful attempt, but
maybe it's just cool.
I mean, cool. I have spoken.
Right? Kind of makes that whole "I have spoken" thing sound a little bit, but yeah. But
But back to the prequels. Yeah, no, listen. As a whole,
right?
As far as driving the narrative and having that story told within the Star Wars universe that was established, prequels are brilliant.
Yeah.
Loved them.
Well,
and watching Palpatine basically play the Republic like a fiddle.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, every move, everything he said and did, he knew the outcome.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant.
Even if you know that it's not canon anymore, I highly suggest you, if you like Star Wars, you read the novel Palpatine. It's fucking awesome. But what I'm saying is like, you should have had George Lucas be a producer. You bring in J.J. Abrams for the fresh take to direct it. But George Lucas and J.J. write the script. So you get some of what Disney wants to bring in, and you get a lot of George Lucas character development. You know, and
I can tell you right now, that probably wouldn't work, because just from what I've seen, as hands-on as Lucas was with all the past Star Wars films, they would have ended up butting heads. And he probably would have been like, you know what? You fucking bought it. Have fun. I'm out.
Right.
And he would go...
No, but he didn't. He wanted to be a part of it. That's what I'm saying. He gave them the materials.
They probably had the foresight to say, listen, we've got our own agenda that we're trying to push. And that's not conducive to doing that, you know, working with you. So you got to go.
No, I'm saying, but they should have.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. They should have.
Disney, they're hard-headed, and they already had
something
in mind for it.
But you can still sell fucking Rey princess dolls and BB-8 droids and those little fucking penguins. You can still fucking sell that shit. You know what I'm saying?
I think they're called porgs.
Whatever, fuck them. They were real birds, and they put them in as penguins because they had to fucking do something with the birds. Anyway, okay.
I did not like seeing them on the Falcon.
The best part was when fucking Chewbacca was roasting one, and then the little one saw him do it and got all freaked out. I would have grabbed that little fucker and put him on the other side.
Make a little kebab. Pork kebab.
Yeah, I mean, but that was like a real Disney movie moment. You know, Chewbacca's like, I feel guilty. Like, you know, like.
Well, here's my thing, though. It's already dead. It's already cooked.
I would have pulled a piece off of it and handed it to that thing. Like, here.
You hungry, little guy? Here you
Meanwhile, that bird has the fucking intelligence to recognize one of its own's being roasted. Like, is that a semi-sentient being? Is it a sentient being?
I don't know.
Because if so, Chewbacca literally commits murder.
I'll tell you right now, that's something that would have been covered in the old Lucas days of Star Wars. It would have been an extended novel that touches on it and explains it.
Well,
it would have been in one of the illustrated universe things.
But here's here's the best part about George Lucas movies.
Those are really nice books.
They are. But the George Lucas movies, you learned everything you needed to know about those movies in those movies. There is a book that Disney calls Must Read Before the Last Jedi in order for you to understand what's going to happen in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to buy your fucking book. It's a movie trilogy. Explain it in the movie.
They were just trying to capitalize on one of the things that made Star Wars as wonderful as it was.
Yeah, an expanded universe. But they're not doing it right.
They're not. That goes right up there with when they were... forget which Marvel movie it was, but they had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in syndication at the time.
Right, I was telling you.
And And in order to understand the plot by the beginning of said film, you had to watch...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to get filled in.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to.
Well, and it's...
I don't want to.
and that's how they're going to hold you hostage now. Because, like, they've literally come out and said... that in order to understand fully the Marvel movies that are going to be released in the cinematic universe, you have to be a part of the television series that are on Disney Plus. So if you're not shelling out that $7 or $70 for the year, you're missing out on the full picture. Like, look, I get you want people to have your service. People are going to get your service anyway. That's evident by the fact that in the first week, the first couple days, it was online. It had over 10 million subscribers. So, obviously, people are coming to do it anyway, and you know that. So, why the bullshit, you know? Like, maybe have a couple of tie-ins here and there, but to make series to where, like, you have to watch those series to understand your movies?
That's just a little
shitty to me.
Yeah. It's a bit much.
And nobody's holding you hostage, you know? Nobody's saying, oh, you have to. We're just saying, you know,
it would be better if you did. I didn't like that when they did that in comics.
Yeah. Oh, the crossover shit.
In order to get the entirety of the, say, Midnight Suns, there were X-Men comic books you had to get, Ghost Rider, Punisher, I believe. The story was all over the damn place. I don't want to have to get all these other books that I don't normally read.
It's true. It's a little much. They do it in the comic world. That's kind of where it started. I don't really like the direction the Marvel comics have been heading in. It's really more of the same that's coming out of the TV shows now with the hyper-woke shit. And, like, dude, you know what I want out of my fucking comic books? You know, like, I don't care who's gay and getting married in the comics. That's cool and all, but, like, maybe give me a fucking compelling story to read. With some strong character development, you know, move me along in it.
Yeah. Why am I reading this? Why do I care?
What happened to the comic books of yesteryear that were, I don't know, about fucking superpowers and social, like, you know, like...
Well, the X-Men, the reason why it was so heavy when it came out was it was mirroring the civil rights movement.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, one can argue comics have always
Professor Xavier was supposed to be Dr. Martin Luther King.
Right.
And Magneto was supposed to be Malcolm X.
Yeah, yeah.
Swap the name.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And there you go. That's their different approach. You have your radicals and you have your peaceful, you know, we want to talk this out and come to some kind of civil agreement.
I don't care if comic books are on the edge of social issues because they always have been. They've always brought things to light, you know, racism, you know, all these type of different social ills they do a good job of in comic books. And I don't think that should be out of comics today. I think, sure, yeah, you want to have a transgender character and you want that to be something that's acceptable or whatever, you want to do that. Awesome. Forward that, keep that going. Just make it good.
Yeah.
Just make it good. Can we just have some superhero fucking battles and, like, some, you know, like, the bad guy is just a bad guy because he, you know, he's a fucking villain, you know? Like, just have some traditional story arcs.
Here's one for free. You want to make a character gay? Okay, cool. Cool is what you do.
Yeah.
They're on the Blackbird. They're on the way out to some freaking hot zone ready to fight. And one of the characters just kind of, like, eases their hand onto the hand of who's sitting next to them. You know?
Yeah.
And they're like, they have a little touching moment. Just before they go into combat, they realize one of them might die, you know? Just like, hey, man.
Bro.
Feeling your energy. So, you know, you want to bump the rod after the fact. That's cool. Cool. All right. Blackbird lands. They get out. They start doing it. You know, they're fighting.
They start doing it.
No, not.
I was like, already? In the suits?
How did those work, by the way? Is it
I was ready for a gay love story to unfold out of the Blackhawk.
Is it like kind of an elastic that you just kind of like...
I want a gay superhero whose only power is to turn other people gay. Like some alpha male's holding a gun to his head. He's like, give me all... Holding a gun to somebody's head. He's like, give me all your money. And he goes... And he goes, oh my god, let's give you a makeover. And the lady's like, what the fuck?
I can see the headlines now. People in masks are catching
right.
the gay.
Right.
He's turning them left and right.
Bro, I could just see like the preachers on TV going, see, we told you could get the gay. That's how it happens. That's why you gotta trust in the Lord above. And some gay guy, and the gay superhero touches him and he's like, oh, pray for the Lord. I love the dick. Bro, I would fucking... Okay, what would be the gay superhero that turns other people's gays name? Lance.
Pretty much.
That's his alter ego's name is Lance, but what's his superpower? What's his superhuman name?
Troy.
That's just a regular name too.
Yeah, but you know.
Oh, he's got it, bro. For, he's got to have like
for
a
fellas with that name,
a to, Freddie Mercury mustache.
Oh, you know it. You know it. He's got to have the whole leather getup. With the taco meat, the chest hairs. Very macho. Very macho.
Bro, I... Well, oh my god. Here I come to turn you gay. Hey everybody, it's Troy the Trojan. I'm just kidding, I never wear condoms. I can't get AIDS. It's a side effect of the superpowers. And you're gay, and you're gay, and you're gay too. Gotta leave some of you straight, though. You gotta make more gays.
Hey, look, that's how you can drive the narrative. There's some agent in his blood that keeps him from getting any sexually transmitted disease. So they want to study him.
It's
they
a gaygent.
Cut him up. A secret gaygent.
A secret gaygent. Secret gaygent man.
Troy.
Troy is secret gaygent man. Secret gaygent man. Secret gaygent man. He'll blow that bad guy and learn all their names.
We're
going to
make him dance now.
Oh, soundtrack by Fly Young Red. Fucking.
Please believe.
Oh my god. Dude, like. I was watching one of his videos, right? And Fly Young Red is like, got all these girls dancing, right, in the background. And this dude that I worked with, he was like watching the video with me, and he goes, yo, them bitches is fine. And I was like, uh-huh. And I was like, what do you like about it? They got big old asses and big old fake titties. And I was like, you know what else they got? And he's like, what? I was like, 8-inch dicks.
They got dicks.
Fly Young Red is a gay rapper from Houston, Texas. He actually has incredibly tight beats and really good fucking rap skills. This guy is awesome. He does a song called Throw That Boy Pussy, which if you guys have been listening to the podcast for a long time, you'll remember that was our first yet and only Yeah, I Said It video. Throw That Boy Pussy on YouTube. Look it up. Yeah, I Said It. Throw That Boy Pussy. You'll laugh your ass off. But in his music videos, obviously since he's gay, you're not gonna see like, you know, real chicks. They're all transsexuals.
Yep.
They're all transgender models and they're freaking shaking their booties and shit. And this guy next to me was like, hell yeah. He's like It's like, fine-ass women of color right there. Look at that big old booty. Look, big old fake titty. I love big old fake titties. And I was like, do you like big dicks? And he's like, no, man. What are you talking about? He's like, nope. Well, they've got them. And he's like, what? And then there's a video of, like, them grabbing Fly Young Red, turning him around, and, like, you know, doing a dance move where they pop it in his butt, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, you see? I was like, you don't see that in a straight rap video.
Nope.
He's like, I don't know what to think right now. He's like a gay thug.
Dude's got his own market, man. His own brand.
It's dude, and he's got skills.
Yeah,
he's got skills.
He's talented.
I'll give him that, man. And to do it in Texas, you know what I mean?
When you're in Texas, go big or go home.
Ah, dude, I bet the Cowboys love him. So
no doubt.
I was reading this article, you know, we were talking about Star Wars and shit, and there's this giant asteroid called Apophis 3. Now, Apophis is also the god of destruction, and it's supposed to swing by Earth in 10 years and come between where our satellites and the space station orbit and Earth. Like, it's just gonna zip right across that gravitational border there. And it's not a world killer, okay? But it's pretty goddamn close, and it's pretty freaking scary.
Yeah, it'll be swinging by pretty close. He was showing me this diagram that basically had little blips of light around the outside perimeter of our gravitational pull.
Yeah.
Which basically marks the extent of our gravitational pull. And then the expected trajectory of said asteroid, meteor, whatever, is this little yellow line, and it cuts right through the outer portion of that.
Right.
That's a little close for comfort.
Well, it's coming within 19,000 miles.
That's not a whole lot.
No, but you think it is. But on a cosmic scale? It
certainly does sound like a lot. But on a cosmic scale,
this thing will be observable by the naked eye in a big way.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta find some way. Astronomers
are saying it's a 1 in 100,000 chance, but 1 in 100,000 when it comes to fucking space, that's almost a direct hit. You know, like, yeah. That's
like in Florida, when somebody says 30% chance of rain, it's gonna rain.
It's gonna rain. It's
some
gonna
point
rain
during the day. Like, there's no telling when in the day. But at some point, because 30% chance, it's going to happen.
Yeah, man.
So, like, that 100,000 or 10,000, whatever, that's, I don't like those odds.
It's super close, okay? It's terrifying. It's like, and you know what the best part is, like, NASA can, you know what, people always say, but if there was, like, a world-ending asteroid, they wouldn't even tell us it was coming. Yeah, they would. You want to know why? Because 90% of you fucking people wouldn't know. Because you're watching Dancing with the Stars and whatever. Like, they put it on fucking the Discovery Channel and, like, five dudes and the guy that's on Ancient Aliens would see it, you know? Like, Patrick Tatopoulos, and he'd be like, Ancient Aliens will be coming to save us. Like, fix your hair, faggot, it's the end of the universe.
You think that's the right way to present yourself?
Yeah.
Have some self-respect.
Have some decency. We know the History Channel put you on there, like, you know, as a consolation prize.
This guy does not.
Right,
like, gonna be great.
Yeah, he's the special interest on the whole show. Like, if they didn't have that guy, it would be believable.
Everybody's seen the picture of him with his hands, like, just so far apart, and you can hear him saying aliens.
Some of the shit that they say is like, dude, that could completely be explained away. Like, by just regular shit, you know?
Yeah.
And like, they don't talk about the regular shit that it could be. It's just aliens, right? It's like, there's no way there could have been a silver disc flying over their heads that made noise and had lights in it. I was like, bro, you don't know what the fuck was going on. They could have seen a goddamn meteor, you know? They don't know what a fucking meteor is.
Nope.
They have no clue what a fucking meteor is.
They can't compare it to anything they've witnessed before. It's something new to them, and they're going to try and make some kind of logic
out
of it.
If they see something flying that ain't a fucking bird, you know what I mean? Put that into perspective. It's not like you and I where we can look up...
What the fuck is that?
Yeah! Bro, you would be scared shitless. If you were early man sitting in a fucking field of sheep... and you're just looking up, and all of a sudden this thing's like flying out of the sky on fire. On fire.
On fire.
Dude, that's why they believe in God, dude, because they had no idea what was going on.
No clue.
So some fucking guy up in the air is throwing stuff. You know?
That's just that guy. He's really pissed off right now.
Dude, if you think about historically, really, we're not that far away from absolute stupid. We're just not. Like, if you really think about it, like, a lot of shit didn't change until the Middle Ages, and then once you get to the Middle Ages, it's kind of like, when we're just taking off. Like, in the last 200 years, we've made every significant advancement mankind has ever had.
Pretty much.
Basically. Like, as far as technologically moving forward. Because for a long time, for a very long time, it was just riding on horses and donkeys and fucking arrows and basic shit. Like, no running water. Like, we've only been living this for a little while.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, it's just started.
And if we keep doing what we're doing, it won't be for much longer. Dude. This is my problem, okay? And I'm starting to come around to this point of view. Like, I would love to be a two-planet species, but I don't want to go to Mars and fuck it up, too. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know how shitty it is? Imagine we terraform Mars, and then some guy just...
all that time making it throws habitable.
Throws a bottle in a trash can and misses, and he's like... And that's how it starts. Just a careless bottle throw on Mars, and then everybody's fucking polluting again.
Oh, the shit starts sliding downhill. Just...
But slower, because Mars has less gravity. So
yeah. I mean, that's just life. Though.
But that's my concern. My concern is, we've already fucked this planet up.
Hard.
You know, we're causing the sixth mass extinction right now.
Yep.
What would we do to Mars? Like, what if there was some, not intelligent life, but like, say there was like some animals that we didn't know that were subterranean, and they're living there, and then we show up, and then they're not there anymore. That's how quick it happens. It's like we talked about in the one podcast, you're trying to save pandas, they don't want to fuck. Let them go, okay? A species has actually given up. It's like, we're ready. Like, you know?
Maybe they just need toys.
If only the Chinese could be like the pandas. We'd have a few less of us Chinese. There are a lot of people over there, man. That's part of the problem. There's too many people. You got India and China. There's like, that's a half the world's population is India and China. That's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, three quarters of it, honestly. Three quarters of it is probably India and China. China.
I mean, I don't know the numbers off. Well, China has. I know that there's an awful lot in both of them.
China has 3 billion, and I think India is close to 2. That's 6 billion people out of 7 billion.
3 and 2 make 5, sir.
Or 5, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's 5. Okay. That's 5 billion people out of 7.
Yeah.
That's a lot, man.
That's substantial.
These people gotta eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're losing the bees. Shit is not going well.
No.
And while the shit is not going well, you know, we make fun of that Greta Thunberg chick that, you know.
I've never made fun of her.
No, but I'm saying, but as a culture, people are making fun of this chick, you know. But she's right.
She absolutely is right.
She's right.
When I saw that video of her, I was like, fucking good on her, somebody saying it.
Our generation didn't fuck this planet up.
Nope.
Two generations before us. She
was saying a bunch of shit that I was thinking when I was her age.
Yeah.
But I never had the stones to say it. Well, certainly not on a podium in front of all those fucking adults, the whole world.
It's gonna take the entire world coming together to fix these problems. Every world government putting aside their differences and going, hey, we've got to save the fucking planet. If not for the planet's sake, just so we could stay alive.
Yeah.
Because really, isn't that all environmentalism is?
Yeah.
You know? They're not worried about the planet. Like, they're like, we got to save the animals and all these different species. Really, what we're saying is, if we don't have this shit to eat, we're all going to die. So we got to keep the fucking meals alive, okay? You know, it's like... That's really what it is.
Yeah.
You know? And if we don't have the bees and all that shit, we don't have the produce. You take away the bees.
Figure out a better way to fit into the whole circle. The whole
we're not... We haven't figured out how to feed 7 billion people now. Cut half of the food away.
Okay, Thanos.
I'm just... No, I'm saying that's what's going to happen. They're going to half the food's going to go because there's no goddamn honeybees.
Yeah.
And, you know, and meanwhile, all this shit is happening. And all our governments can talk about is, should we have health care for everybody and who's going to pay for it? Like,
yeah.
Dude, no. Okay, yeah, that's important. Okay, I get it. You know, health care for everybody. I honestly wish we had it. I don't trust our government enough to not spend all the money. But, because they robbed Social Security. Well, it's not going to go there. But, you know, the world is on fire. Like, 90% of the fish are gone in the ocean. That's a staggering fucking number.
I'm sure Fukushima didn't help.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say it. Those goddamn... You know who I'm talking about.
Who greenlights
that? Who builds a fucking nuke plant on an earthquake-ridden island on the coast? For a group of people that are very familiar with how nuclear fission works, you would think... They would take some more precautions.
And like, it's that doesn't sound like a good idea. Let's not even break ground on this. Let's find a different way to supply people with the power and energy that they need to get by in their daily lives and routines and what have you.
It's still pumping fucking radiation right now into the ocean. Still. Not a single news fucking media is covering it. They just said it got its little cycle, you know, the little couple of months where everybody was like, oh no, radiation. And now it's like,
that's awful.
Yeah. And now there's like a giant dead zone in the Pacific where no life is growing. Nobody's talking about it.
They keep putting out new filters on the Snapchats.
Fucking. Dude.
That's important.
Turn off.
Have you seen the old face?
Dude.
Filter? That's great, huh?
Dude, I swear to God. I wonder what you
look like with an old face, huh? Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Fukushima is still pumping shit out. Cut it out.
If you guys wanted to create Godzilla, this is how it happens.
This is how you get a Godzilla.
Dude, how shitty would that be if that's how Japan goes out?
No, that would be poetic.
Right.
It wouldn't be shitty. I would watch from afar.
But if there's one thing they've been preparing for throughout their history, it's Godzilla. So maybe they're all right. Go Gojira!
The effect they have on the people, oh my gosh, like, some people will probably just freeze and be like, is this real? Is this really happening? Some people might be honored. They'd be like, oh shit! I knew it was for real. I knew this was gonna happen this way.
There's so many times where I think...
Where I step on my car.
Where I think to myself, it'd be nice to have a little bit of that Christian apocalypse, you know?
Just a little. Just sprinkle some on there.
You know? I mean, for a little excitement. You know, I...
to see how things go.
Dude, are you kidding me? I watch the zombie apocalypse movies and the TV shows or whatever. I see that shit and I go, you know why this is so popular? Because people want to shoot their neighbor. And it's not polite. So
you have to live vicariously for right. these characters.
So if there is a zombie,
post-apocalyptic right.
So if your neighbor is a fucking flesh-eating ghoul, you can pop to his head and nobody cares.
Whoops!
I'm telling you, that's what it is. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's like going out and killing your neighbor and getting away with it.
Yeah.
Or that guy at work that pisses you off because he ruins every fucking show with the water cooler, like spoilers and shit. Who doesn't want to shoot that guy? Shoot that guy!
You can.
Right?
You can watch people in the show do it.
It's why people like Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a shitty day or you get pulled over on the way home from work, you can't shoot a real cop.
But you can shoot them in Grand Theft Auto.
And it doesn't hurt nobody. It's no harm, no foul. I bet when the cops get
sometimes
home...
Sometimes I like doing a 5-star run. I start out with just my fists. Dude. Start punching people on the sidewalk.
When Grand Theft Auto 3 came out.
Open up that pit.
Oh,
then,
yeah.
Then you, you know, you go into the brass knuckles, get up to the knife, start shimming people, then you pull out the handgun.
Bro, when that game came out, when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out, we were all playing it on my PlayStation 2 at my apartment. And we used to take runs. We'd see how long one person could last at 5 stars. We'd time it. And then we'd all try to outdo each other's time. It was like a game we played if there wasn't a game mode for it. Because there's not a game mode for that shit. So we just did it. And, bro, that was some of the most fun in video games I've ever had in my life. Trying to see how long you could stay alive. And you couldn't be a pussy. You had to, like, fucking go out there and really try to fucking survive.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't just go hide in a corner and, like, lose your wanted level. No. You had to go out there and keep causing fucking chaos. Breaking, throwing people out of cars, driving down the street, crashing that shit into an ambulance, running inside.
I can't begin to tell you how many times I go to steal a car. I pull the person out of it, I hop in the driver's seat. As soon as I close the door, there's freaking SWAT van hits my quarter. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Bro, I was so horrible to people I pulled out of the car.
Oh, so bad. So, if you pull the stick back away from the driver's seat, then they just pull him out of the car. And yeah. They don't get in the car. So
yeah,
you
yeah.
can stay out there. After
and shoot him in the head.
Shoot him. You can use the
melee button. Kick them while they're down.
Yeah. Kick them while they're down. Punch them. Well, I like using the knife. You stab them while they're on the ground. It's very relaxing.
This is one for the books, my friend. This podcast right here. If people aren't offended at this shit, and we didn't even mean it to be that way, we're just letting loose, having a good time tonight.
Listen, I'm just talking about Grand Theft Auto, baby.
No, I know. But if you take it out of context, so you get them on the ground and you fucking stab them with the knife, it's relaxing.
Oh, yeah, I did kind of say that.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're talking to somebody with a notebook, you're on a couch.
Oh, well, what do they know?
You know.
I'm fine.
I am a functioning psychopath, sir. I get shit done. I go to work, I pay my taxes. I stab a guy every now and then. It's relaxing. Don't you like to, like, let some steam off after work? What do you do?
What do you do?
I bet you bowl.
You look like a bowler to right. me.
It's so funny because, like, I run into these old people all the time, and, like, I swear to God, like, 85% of the time, the husband's name is Bob. Swear to God, dude, it's always a Bob. It's like Bob and Sharon, Bob and Karen, Bob and Kathy, Bob and Pam. You know, like.
Bob and Troy.
Troy Bobbin. That would be amazing. Like, all he'd have to do is walk up to Tom Cruise and touch him and be like, nothing happened. Yeah. Already on the team. I knew it.
K-Dar's gotta be one of his abilities.
K-Dar, yeah, dude. He's kind of...
That's how he knows who to infect
his,
with.
His dick tingles like Peter Parker. Anytime he's near...
Way they draw the spider sense around Spider-Man's
yeah.
head. They do that
like a
his crotch.
Like a divining rod.
I can't talk about this again.
I know.
Guys, in one episode.
We just got back to it somehow.
Oh,
oh, Jesus Christ. See, I'm telling you. Yeah, I said it, pride.
It just means it's a good idea. That's all it is.
We're the gayest straight guys on the planet. This is... if this is like New Kids in the Hall. This is... Just...
And then they fuck.
Right. Oh, Jesus. And now you two kiss.
See, that's nice. Everybody's touching. We're touching. You know, it's very relaxing.
That's a whole different movie, though, with Troy.
Oh, yeah. It's a complete... I've never done this before. Oh. It's the first time for everything.
I've always been a little bi curious, sweetie. You're gay.
Who was that that fellow that said something about how you could take three dicks before you're considered gang? It was some celebrity.
Wait, what?
He said something about you could suck three dicks before you...
Before you're gay?
Yeah.
So the first three is what, a trial run? Like, what is... Try it before you buy it? Like, what? I don't understand.
Like an AOL disc, I think, you know? Go ahead and get your 7-day trial, see how it works out for you, if you don't like it.
I mean, if you're willing to suck one dick, you've thought about it before. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like one day.
Well, this is us now. This is
right. It's not like one day you're just walking around and you see a guy and you have a twinkle in your eye and he does too and you're like, eh. Wonder what his dick tastes like. I'm like,
that's gonna be one of those names. That's gonna be part of the apology segment for next week. I'm gonna find out that guy's name.
What guy's name?
The guy I just mentioned that said you could take up to three dicks before you're considered gay. Some celebrity, maybe an athlete. I don't know.
Dude, did you hear fucking T.I. takes his daughter to get her hymen checked on her birthday every year? Takes her to the doctor, has the doctor check her hymen to make sure it's intact, and then report the results to him. She's 16. She has to say, yes, my dad can hear those results. So the doctor has to ask her if it's okay. And she says, yes. And then T.I. gets the results if her hymen's intact. Meanwhile, the doctor says to him prior, sir, just to let you know, sports... other activities like horseback riding or just athletic things, falling in the right way, all these things can break a hymen. He goes, man, my daughter don't do sports. She don't ride no motherfucking horses. He's like, just give me the results and be expeditious with it. That was his words. I'm not paraphrasing.
And be expeditious with it.
And be expeditious with it. Now, he's drawn a lot of fucking condemnation, and rightly so. That's fucking child abuse.
Well, does she not do that stuff because it doesn't interest her, or does she not do that stuff because...
She's 16, dog. I'm pretty sure she's like, you know, like any normal kid. They want to experiment and try things with the opposite sex or the same sex or whatever sex, you know, when you're coming of age. So
you just got a lot of juices running through and you're just like, I want to do this.
Right.
I haven't done this before.
But, like, you're going to fucking check to whether or not to see your daughter is still a fucking virgin?
Look, people take parenting differently.
That's one way of putting it.
Well, I mean, neither of us are parents, really, so we can't really...
Yeah, I can. I can. I could say that that's fucking creepy.
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. However, there's a switch that flips in certain people when they become parents.
Well,
that rational thought goes out the fucking window, and they just do the dumbest, weirdest shit, and they think it's... the right thing to do.
I get all of that, but as a society, I think we have the ability to go, hey guy, that's a little fucked up. Because it's at some point, this girl is suffering emotional trauma from this, whether she realizes it or not, okay? She's having her vagina examined by a stranger or whatever. Well,
okay, have they asked her about that?
Has who asked her?
Anybody, whoever
he is. If she's doing psychological damage to her?
Well, I mean, how does she feel about it, honestly? Maybe she doesn't mind. Maybe she doesn't really care either way. Like,
Listen, she may not because she's scared and he's made her scared. He's probably said a lot of shit to her about don't lose your fucking virginity and don't fucking have any dicks near you or whatever. I'm sure she doesn't live a fucking, like, carefree existence. It doesn't sound like a dad that's really kind of about, like, hey, be yourself, express yourself, like, you know.
I guess.
You know what I mean? All I know is that's not the way to keep your daughter off the pole, like Chris Rock said, okay? Like, that's how you create a porn star, is telling a chick she can't fucking lose her virginity until whenever.
With any child, when you tell them, you can't do this, you can't do that, that's where they're going to rebel. They're going to flip the script on them.
You know, I don't know. I have a real problem with it, honestly.
You can't do this, you can't do that. Oh, yeah? Watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch.
Well, because that's natural, to be rebellious.
Yeah.
To test your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or knowing... the extent of said boundaries and going beyond that on purpose.
It's just...
Just for the sake
of... Well, you're also teaching her you don't trust her.
That's to me, the biggest factor.
Yeah.
That would kind of divide them, if you will.
How would you feel as a kid if your dad didn't trust you? Like, if he didn't, you know, like, if the one person...
That wouldn't be my dad.
Right.
Dude, my whole life, like, my parents trusted me. It may sound goofy, but, like, they let me play outside in the yard. They never came out, like...
Well, no, we didn't have helicopter parents, like that. No.
We got to ride bikes wherever the fuck we wanted.
I hate to say it, but it was a different time.
It absolutely was.
But it could be like that again.
It could.
And it won't, but it could.
They trusted me, man. And honestly, with that trust, the thing that kept me from doing really bad stuff more often than not was my parents wouldn't agree with that.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Like, this would make them very upset. They'd be disappointed in me. And that was...
That's the worst. Killer. That's the worst.
When they said I'm very disappointed in you, dude, that crushed.
That's
my
way worse than just getting a spanking or being grounded or whatever it is. Like,
listen, I've been hit by chancletas, bare hands. I think that's pretty much it.
Belts.
Not
plastic spatulas.
Ooh.
A cutting board with holes drilled in it.
A cutting board? That's a hell of a surface. Woo!
It actually didn't hurt as bad as you think. It was the sound of it hitting because of the holes whistling and then smacking.
They whistled?
They whistled.
Woo!
It was a mind fuck.
Damn!
Listen, the 80s...
I could just... Well, anyway.
The 80s were different. You could beat the shit out of your kids and it was okay. And if they complained about it...
It happened to them outside. Right, that wouldn't happen to them inside. Right.
And if they complained about it, they didn't get Nintendo. Like, you know. Welcome to childhood rearing. And I think that's why we got the parents that had the millennials now. Is that, like...
That trust somehow just kind of...
Well, the spankings... The divorce rate in America went up during those times. Like, kids were... Like, both parents were starting to work. You know, divorce rates were going up. Like, it was a different time. And, like, to be a kid. And then, you know, then those kids didn't want to give any of those things to their kids. And they wanted to be super nurturing and super hovering and super involved. And then that's what you have now, what happened now. And then you're programmed evolutionarily to trust your parents. It's a biological imperative that'll keep you alive until you're not an adolescent anymore. You know what I mean? You had to listen to your parents or the fucking wolves would eat you. You know what I mean? Like, That's where it comes from. So to betray that trust and then have your daughter not... you really think she could come to him with problems and stuff like that? Like,
no, absolutely not. Like, what if she meets somebody that she's hitting it off with and they're doing new stuff?
Yeah.
And she wants to share with her dad, well, somebody.
Right.
But her dad isn't a feasible option to talk to because he'd flip his shit.
Right.
You know?
There's no.
She's not gonna get guidance in the right direction. Maybe this person's a piece of shit, and gullible.
There's no safety net there for her.
None.
So anyway,
trust is important.
Yeah, and you know what? Trust is important. It's great to be close with your family, and the holidays are coming. Like we said, Thanksgiving's a week away. And you know, it's going to be time to spend time with your families and your close friends. And, I think I speak for Kamal when I say, we both hope that you guys get to spend all the time you can with your family and friends and enjoy the holidays. I think that's going to about wrap it up.
That sounds like a
for,
good enough place.
For us this week. I'm Jesse Shadoos.
I'm Kamal Altash.
And we'll see you guys next week. Peace.